This is Aspen by the Rippingtons featuring Russ Freeman. Well, they're saying that stress can be subjective, and what do you think about that? Think there's some truth to that? Well, the study that they're looking at now, that they're talking about here, was fascinating because it actually measured the stress response on the brain and its negative impact on the rest of the body, according to Dr. Aaron Michaels, who's with Johns Hopkins. Other research underscores the link between stressful events and the risk of heart disease. A study published in May 2015 in the journal Circulation, Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes, for example, found that divorce, which is a stressful event, significantly increased the risk of heart attack for both men and women, but especially so in women who had been divorced more than once. Wow. I got to ask you this. Till death do us part, the two become one. Till death do us part is what a lot of people say when they're exchanging wedding vows. Our Creator has determined that when two people marry, they become one. Do you think that there's more to it, more than meets the eye, when two people decide, who are married, decide to separate? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not coming down on people who divorce, not doing that at all. I'm simply saying, let's explore this for a minute. People who divorce have significantly increased risk, the studies show, of heart attack. And this is true for men and for women. And this, is especially true for women who have been divorced more than once. It's not something that you get used to. I've been through this before. I'll be all right. Been through it before. It takes an even greater toll on the person, especially, as they're saying, for the women. Significantly increased risk of heart attack. What's going on that would cause that? That would cause a situation wherein, when people get divorced, there is a significantly increased risk of heart attack. Now, again, I mean it when I say I'm not coming down on people who divorce. The reality is, some of you have heard me say this before. You heard the Blooms and me allude to this earlier this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, on Valentine's Day. You've heard me discuss this with some of our other professionals in the field who really push for reconciliation when something has gone wrong within the marriage. But they also say that there are just some marriages that are just not meant to be. Some marriages need to be done away with. And that's just a reality. But that said, what is going on that when people divorce, they have a significantly higher risk of heart attack? Well, we can think through that over time. Stress can also indirectly increase the risk of heart disease. People who are stressed tend to have poor coping behaviors, according to Dr. Michaels, and so they may sleep poorly. They might smoke. They might drink. They might binge eat to comfort themselves. I definitely want to encourage you. Well, we'll get to it. An Egyptian study published December 2017 in the Egyptian Heart Journal found that overeating was associated with a 3.7-fold increased risk of heart attack. People overeat, the risk of heart attack increased 3.7 times. Similarly, a meta-analysis, where they took a look at a number of studies to find out the common findings of all those studies, published in March 2017 in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, found that insomnia was associated with an increased risk of heart attack and stroke. When I was much younger, I used to wonder what people feel like when they had insomnia, when they experienced insomnia. I mean, you know, like 7th grade, 8th grade. I used to wonder what they felt like. Unable to go to sleep. Unable to sleep the way they need to. And so my question then was, well, if their bodies are not able to go to sleep, does that mean that their bodies can handle not getting that sleep? Are their bodies okay not getting that sleep? Or are their bodies missing that sleep? And that is it causing a problem for them if they're not getting that sleep? Of course, as time went on, I got the answer to that question. Their bodies, they're really suffering for not being able to get to sleep. We really need sleep. We all do. We need sleep as part of life's equation. And wow, I tell you, my heart goes out to people who have a difficult time getting sleep. The encouraging news is that even though stress can feel like it's out of our control, Dr. Kieran Dentiala says it's all in our heads. Dr. Dentiala says we can create the stress response using the power of our own thoughts. Dr. Dentiala is president of Stress-Free Revolution and author of Calm in the Midst of Chaos. You can create your stress response. You can create your own sense of calm. So that's it. Let me share with you some ways that we can go about the business of reducing the stress. Some strategies that we can use to truly reduce stress so that we reduce the risk of heart disease and diabetes and some of the other disorders that can come along with chronic stress. Now, I want you to tell me, just brainstorm real quick. What are some ways that we can reduce stress? You're thinking through this with me. We're thinking through it together. What are some ways that we can reduce our stress? Give them to me. Okay. All right. Three ways to reduce stress. Five ways to reduce stress. You gave me three. Give me two more. Five ways to reduce stress. Okay. Let's compare yours to what they're going to give us. And that doesn't mean that if all that we came up with doesn't sync up, that ours are wrong. No, no, no. If it's an effective method, it is an effective method. Let's use it. Okay, I just share with you something that these professionals came up with. Numero uno, and not necessarily in importance, it's just the first one listed. Numero uno, air your grievances. When you're stressed out, whether you're waiting for test results at the doctor's office or you're preparing for a major presentation at work, you're working on a major assignment for school, watch your breath. Literally, pay attention to your breathing. Focus on your breathing, Dr. Dentiala says, in order to redirect your attention on what's making you a stress mess. As long as you keep focusing on your stressful thoughts, not only are they real to you, but they're significant to you. The moment you take your focus off of what's stressing you out, that stress can go away. And according to the American Heart Association, breathing exercises can help manage stress and, as a result, lower the risk of heart disease. So any sort of deep breathing or refocusing can get us back to a less inflammatory state, according to Dr. Jennifer Mirez. And remember, I shared with you how when that amygdala is experiencing that stress, arteries become inflamed, literally become inflamed. Bone marrow becomes inflamed. We can reduce the inflammatory state through deep breathing or any other method that helps us refocus. One way to focus on the breath is to breathe in through your nose for 1 second, then exhale for a few seconds longer than you inhale. But don't set yourself up to feel like a relaxation failure, as in, I didn't do any breathing today. Dr. Stacy Funt, who's a lifestyle medicine specialist and wellness coach, says, thing is, breathe without judgment and expectation. If you remember to do your breathing exercises, great, but don't beat yourself up if you're in bed and it hits you. Oh, no, I didn't do any of my breathing exercises today. And here's the thing. I really would like to request, this is just, you know, from one friend to another, I would like to request that as you think about these various strategies of reducing stress, don't wait until you're feeling stressed to do them. Make it a lifestyle, just like a lot of people exercise as a lifestyle because they want to be healthy, well, etc. Maybe include some of these other stress-reducing exercises like deep breathing, etc. So that you're doing it even when you're not stressed, so that when stressful situations do arise, they're not nearly as stressful and therefore don't have nearly as significant an impact. More about that when I come back.